Welcome to The Growth Zone, where we explore dauntless leadership, dramatic business growth, and the strategies and tactics you can use to grow your business in Japan and beyond. I'm Stephen Bleistein. Are you ready to grow? Let's get started. Today, I want to talk about one of the most common and most avoidable crises I see in foreign companies operating in Japan. A CEO is preparing to move on. Maybe he's been recalled to head office. Maybe she's found a compelling opportunity elsewhere. Maybe it's simply time. And when that moment comes, they look around at their organization and realize there is no one obviously ready to take over. Not because there aren't good people, there are. But there are no good developed people. No one who has been genuinely prepared for the role. No one who has been given the right experiences, the right responsibilities, the right coaching at the right time. And so the CEO finds themselves stranded in what I call the land of no good options. What does the land of no good options look like in practice? You can promote the best internal candidate and hope they rise to the occasion. But depending on the gap, where they are, and what the role demands, that is a significant gamble. You can launch an external search, but that can take a year or more, and the outcome is unpredictable. And I know of a case where the process ran for 12 months and a finalist was identified, and then that person changed their mind and took a different role entirely. In the meantime, the departing CEO is stuck, unable to move on, or the business is left leaderless. I want to be direct. In my experience, the only thing worse than a business without a leader is a business with a mediocre one. Now, there is a related problem that compounds all of this, the refraction layer. Organizations full of mid-level managers who block, bend, or dissipate change from the top tend to also suffer from a leadership dearth. The two conditions reinforce each other. The refraction layer suppresses the development of talented people beneath it, and over time, those talented people leave. What remains is a deep bench of people with the right titles and the right years of experience, but not the right capabilities. And so the CEO looks at a full organization chart and cannot find a successor. So here's the paradox I want you to sit with. I've never met a CEO who lacked for talent. I've met many who lacked for developed talent. And that is an entirely different problem. And it demands an entirely different solution. Let me add one more wrinkle before I get to what you should do about it. Some companies solve the succession problem by hiring in an external candidate, hiring a competent CEO from the outside, or deploying an expat from another part of the global business. And sometimes that is the right call. But it can come with hidden costs. At one European company I know, local, mid-level, and senior managers began to notice a pattern. The top jobs always went to outsiders, expats, external hires. Internal candidates never seemed to be good enough, one manager told me. The most ambitious people, exactly the ones you most want to keep, concluded that the ceiling above them was permanent and they left, which made the leadership bench even thinner, which made external hiring even more necessary, which reinforced the belief that internal talent wasn't good enough. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So how do you escape the land of no good options and make sure you never end up there again? There is no helicopter rescue, no quick extraction. You have to hike your way out. But the good news is this. The path out is exactly the same path that prevents you from ever getting stranded there in the first place. And it starts with a fundamental truth. Leadership cannot be trained. It must be cultivated. Every CEO I have ever asked about how they learned to lead has said the same thing. There was a boss, someone they held in high regard, who advised them, challenged them, mentored and coached them, even if it was never explicitly called coaching. The learning happened in the work itself. The feedback was immediate and real. The fastest way to build leadership bench at every level is to make coaching and mentoring part of how your company operates, not a program, not an annual initiative, part of the job. Teach your direct reports how to coach their direct reports. so that capability cascades all the way down the organization. When developing people who are not yet in leadership roles, I want you to focus on two things specifically. The first is self-accountability. A leader cannot hold others accountable if they have never learned to hold themselves accountable. That capacity has to be built, and it has to be built early. The second is independent initiative. A leader who has spent their career waiting for cues from above before acting will not suddenly transform into a bold, decisive decision maker the moment they receive a leadership title. That muscle has to be exercised long before it is needed. Now, and I want you to hear this clearly, the best time to invest in your leadership bench is when there is no urgent need. Even when succession seems years away, start investing now while you have the runway. The goal is always to be in a position where you have a slate of successors, not one candidate, a slate, about whom you are reasonably confident you could hand off the business when the need arises. And the need arises sooner than you think. Head office makes a snap decision to recall expat CEOs. You might unexpectedly need to leave Japan for personal reasons. You might want to take on a compelling opportunity with another employer, but feel ethically bound not to leave because your organization has no one ready to replace you. That last scenario is more common than people admit. Leaders trapped in their roles, not because of a contract, but because of conscience. So here is something else worth noting. A strong leadership bench doesn't just solve future succession problems. It makes you better right now. When your direct reports are more capable, they need less of your intervention on routine matters. They bring you solutions, not problems. The return on that investment is immediate and ongoing. Let me share a story that I think illustrates this better than any framework can. I once coached four talented sales team leaders in the same organization. Each of them reported to a different sales director. Three of those directors formed a refraction layer. They blocked, consciously or not, the growth of the people below them. The fourth director was a top performer who actually invested in her team. All four team leaders had genuine talent. All four absorbed the coaching enthusiastically. But when the engagement ended, the three under the refraction layer directors reverted. They simply could not spread their wings with those managers above them. The environment did not allow it. And the fourth team leader? He kept improving. He sustained his growth. He was promoted to an internal director role not long after. Same talent pool, completely different outcomes. The difference was not the people, it was the environment above them. Your leadership bench is often hiding in plain sight. When you clear the refraction layer, when you create the conditions for talented people to develop, you will often discover that the bench you brought that you thought you didn't have was there all along. Competence has far more to do with the desire to learn than with what has already been learned. It is not the learned people in your organization who are your leadership bench. It is the learners. They will always grow to fill any gap if you clear the way for them. So let me leave you with what I call Steve's four imperatives for perpetual leadership bench, four concrete things that you can start doing now. Imperative one. Make your direct reports duties include some of the duties of your role, particularly where those duties require capabilities they don't yet have. The most successful leaders I work with involve their managers in strategy development and decision making well before strategic thinking is a formal requirement of the job. At some point, it will be critical. Start preparing your people now rather than hoping they absorb it through osmosis. Imperative two. Every leader at every level must be a mentor and coach to their staff, starting with you, not a program, not an annual initiative, part of the job. If you are uncertain how to coach effectively, I'm happy to point you in the right direction. Imperative three, every leader at every level must begin cultivating a slate of successors from day one. Not one successor, a slate. The best managers invest the majority of their time and attention in their best people. Investing in the excellent can help them double their results. Investing the same effort in mediocre performers might yield 5% improvement, if that. Play favorites, favor the excellent. There is nothing unfair about it. Imperative 4. Employees with no direct reports must serve as leaders in some capacity as part of their role. Build your leadership bench from the very bottom of the organization, and you will find yourself with ample bench at every level above. Give people with no staff the opportunity to lead a team, even a short-term project team. The earlier you begin cultivating leadership capability, the better. Now, if you are sitting there thinking that there simply isn't enough leadership talent available in Japan, let me dissuade you of that notion. There is plenty of leadership talent in Japan. It flourishes in companies that invest in it. Whether or not your company is one of those companies is entirely up to you. That's a wrap on today's Growth Zone. Keep growing, keep leading, dauntlessly. I'm Stephen Bleistein, and I'll see you in the next episode.